And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message is from the gospel lesson this morning, Luke chapter 2, the last few verses there, as the Holy Family makes their way into the temple in Jerusalem. A very Merry Christmas to those of you who were not in church on Thursday. Did you get what you were hoping for under the tree? My wife got a new vacuum cleaner, so, you know, we're good to go there. But now it's time to put the seasonal things away, celebrate the new year, and get back to life as normal as possible. Here at church, we don't really have a lot of downtime between the celebration of Christmas and the start of our 2015 focus back to the basics. In fact, all we have to transition from one to the other is today. This is our putting things away, getting back to normal weekend here at Zion. And coincidentally, the focus of our time together this morning is how another family, about 2,000 years ago, tried to get their life as back to normal as possible after some pretty remarkable events. We don't know how long Mary and Joseph dated, or if they dated at all before they got married, or if their marriage was an arranged kind of thing. Now, many people speculate that Joseph was a good deal older than Mary, because when Jesus grows up and he's doing his ministry at about age 30, you see Mary mentioned, but you don't hear about or see Joseph. But I think, for reasons we can get into in the narthex area or downstairs, that Mary and Joseph were probably closer in age than many people think. And so they are kids, literally, as people got married back then well before the age of 18, usually kids crazy and in love, ready to begin their life together, bringing two families together, uniting two clans, and then having children of their own. And then Mary goes and gets pregnant. Now, both she and Joseph are told that the baby in her womb is a miraculous gift of God through the Holy Spirit, but there would still be the stigma of a large and with child unmarried Mary being seen in public. Joseph would have to endure the scorn of ignorant people thinking he was either an immoral man or was okay marrying an immoral woman. And when the time came for her to give birth, Mary was far away from her home. At the decree of Caesar, she and Joseph were forced to return to his ancestral home of Bethlehem, all the way in the south of Israel. They were coming from the northern part to register for the census. And so she is forced to give birth where animals bedded down. They did not know anyone who would show them hospitality, to show a modicum of mercy at a time when giving birth routinely risked the life of both mother and child. And after giving birth, Mary is not only surrounded by barnyard animals, but also by strange men, shepherds from the nearby countryside, who wanted to catch a glimpse of the baby boy, saying that they had been directed to her location by the angel of the Lord himself. Not exactly the kind of company a new mom wants as she recovers from the throes of childbearing. But even that pales in comparison to what happened next for the young family. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a short distance from Jerusalem and the temple. Jewish custom dictated that all baby boys be brought into the temple for religious ceremonies and traditions, as is recorded in the first part of our gospel lesson this morning. And so, since they're in town or close to town, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus into the temple, where things do not go as planned. They are small town folk, Galileans, this Mary and Joseph. They're in the big city, Jerusalem. So already they're kind of out of place. They may not know their way around all too well. Mary has just given birth. Joseph is a new dad. They want to do their religious and their civic duty at the temple and go back home. The last thing they want is an incident. But that's exactly what they get. First, it's Simeon, a devout, a religious man, most likely well-known around the temple area, and he draws attention to the young family, saying things like, "This child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." You can almost hear postpartum Mary saying something like, "Get away from my baby." Then it is Anna, also devout, also probably well known around the temple, as the text says she was there praying and fasting day and night, year after year. And this old lady, 84 years old, bursts out in praise in front of the small town family and begins to speak to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. I doubt very much that Joseph and Mary wanted this kind of attention. And so finally, when we get to the end of our text, the Holy Family is able to go back home, back to as normal a life as possible when your child is the Son of God, but back to a new normal nevertheless. Now, we don't know what this new normal looked like for Mary and Joseph. In fact, the Bible has very little to say about Jesus from the time he's born to the time when his public ministry begins, some 30 years later. But we do know a little bit. We know a little bit about Jesus' upbringing in the concluding words of our text. He grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Who wouldn't want that for their child or children? To be strong physically, never be picked last, able to stand up for themselves, to be able to help out around the house, and to be emotionally healthy. To not need to worry about being bullied or a lack of self-confidence, being able to show kindness to friends and peers without being seen as weak, to be able to handle the difficulties of growing up in stride, and to be strong spiritually, to have a faith in God from early on, to pray from their youth, to have an interest in scriptures and in the worship of God's people. And it says Jesus was filled with wisdom, not just knowledge, but wisdom. The opening chapters of the book of Proverbs have a lot to say about wisdom. Some of the things that they say from Proverbs chapter 2, "The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. And also the next chapter, chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Blessed and also favored by God. To know that whatever supernatural happenings are going on behind the scenes, God is on the side of your child. And to know that your child will never have to worry about being punished by a holy, righteous, and almighty God. And to know that after you are gone or unable to protect and provide for your children, they will continue to be safe in the hands of the one who created them. Who wouldn't want this for their children? Who wouldn't want this for themselves? It's my impression that many people see Jesus as kind of a weakling, like someone who hides from life behind the establishment of religion because they can't succeed or be excellent at anything else. But as you read the Bible and as you get to know Jesus, I think it's safe to assume that the one who compelled men to leave everything and follow him, who shut the mouths of his well-educated opponents with the soundness of his teaching, and who was able to fast for 40 days in the wilderness, was not weak. Strong, filled with wisdom, favored by God. This description of Jesus in his youth carried over into his adult life and his public ministry as well. But what would you do if you were strong, filled with wisdom, and favored by God? Would you take advantage of these blessings and climb the ladder of financial success? Would you use it to become a household name, to be famous? Would you become an athlete, maybe even a monster truck driver? Would you become an academic, a CEO, aspire to political office, God forbid, fulfill your every desire, provide for the best home and future for your children and family? If you were strong, filled with wisdom, and had the favor of God, how would you change the world? Jesus used his strength in the wilderness, 40 days fasting. He used his wisdom to shut the mouths of his opponents. My favorite example of this is in Matthew 22, the second half of the chapter. Jesus is, again, back in Jerusalem, and he's being questioned, interrogated by these various groups that are in Jerusalem. They didn't really know him. He did most of his ministry in Galilee and on the road from Galilee in the north down to Jerusalem in the south. And so these Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, teachers of the law had heard something about Jesus, but they had never really personally encountered him. And so as he comes into Jerusalem after Palm Sunday, before Easter Sunday, or before Good Friday, they have their crack at him to show these country folk that have come down to Jerusalem for the holy days that this Jesus isn't so great. Look, we're smarter than he is. And it records a number of encounters that Jesus has with these groups. And they ask him a question, and Jesus replies. And then I want to read the response of these different groups of people to what Jesus has to say to them. In chapter 22, verse 22, when they heard what Jesus had to say, they marveled, and they left him and went away. 11 verses later, when the crowd heard it, what Jesus had to say, they were astonished at his teaching. And my favorite, chapter 22, verse 46, no one was able to answer him a word. In other words, no one had a comeback for what he had to say. Nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. How did Jesus use strength, wisdom, and God's favor? Go back to what Simeon had to say. He says this, "My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. In the words of Isaiah 53, Jesus used his strength to be led like a lamb to the slaughter, peacefully carrying his own cross to the place of the skull. He used the wisdom that shut the mouths of the Sadducees and Pharisees, lawyers and crowds, to not answer a word to the false accusations that were brought before him in the courtyard of Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate. He took advantage of God's favor by suffering his wrath, taking our place and the punishment that our sins deserved, enduring the cross. In short, Jesus gave away his strength, wisdom, and divine favor to save us, to become like us. Oh, sure, if you listen to the world, you may see yourself as weak, foolish, and doubt where you stand with God. But this is the same world that thought it had overpowered Jesus when he hung on the cross, outsmarted him with cunning in the deceitful plan, and condemned him in the sight of God by killing him with the wicked. But we know what happened 3 days later. And while the strength, wisdom, and divine favor we have been given is perceived by the world as weakness, foolishness, even divine displeasure and wrath, we know that it also overcame death and won for us eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. It's hard for things to go back to normal when you know the Savior and the words of Simeon have become your own. My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Maybe things shouldn't go back to normal. Maybe normal wasn't possible for Mary and Joseph, raising the Son of God as their own child. And maybe it's not possible for us either, who have worshipped the baby Jesus and have come to know him as our Savior and as our Lord. You see, because getting back to normal was never God's plan for his people. Lives changed and saved, sins forgiven, and eternity with God is. Your life is anything but normal. You have seen God's salvation prepared in the presence of all people because you have come to know Jesus as your Savior. In his name, amen. In the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever in Christ Jesus. Amen.